AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We had the privilege of chatting with her 2 years ago. Representative Liz Bolden is kind enough to join us. Democrat of the day, representing 25B, which is a good portion of Rochester, as well as Cascade Township in the southern part of the state. She's kind enough today to join us to talk about the things that have been going on and what she wants to see happen in the upcoming session. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. We like to start off here by talking about your district. Fantastic district down there. I've been down there numerous times. Rochester's just cute.
It is. I agree.
It is. I mean, I've been to some cities. I'm not going to say their names, but I mean, it's something you go there. You're like, oh, this is not exactly entertaining, but you got so much going on down there. It is kind of a fun area to represent because of the kind of growth that you do get. You do get that high end, industry growth with the Mayo Clinic and all the auxiliary businesses that go along with it. I mean, that is just top notch.
Yeah, it is. It is great. And it definitely is growing and expanding. And, you know, I feel like it's the perfect combination of, you know, there are things to do. There's entertainment, mm-hmm. there's restaurants, there's, you know, things for families to do. But it also feels, it has like a small town feel at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it is a true gem down there. And you've been down there. Let's talk about this last session. What were some of the things that you worked on? I mean, I just mentioned here, you're on early childhood finance and policy, health finance and policy, which is kind of a no-brainer, and human services finance and policy. You were on those committees there. What are some of the things that you worked on this last year that you're really proud of?
Yeah, I have really come to love the early childhood space. The childcare and early learning space has really something I have really just enjoyed, and it's so meaningful. So that has been, you know, a lot of my work over the last year has been, you know, something I'm really proud of and something I'm going to continue to dig into this year. So, you know, last year we were able to, I carried a bill to raise the childcare assistance program rates. So, to essentially, you know, expand childcare, make it more affordable for more people. And we didn't, you know, get, as far as we should have, but definitely made progress. And so we'll keep at that this year as well. I also carried a bill for the Great Start, task force, which again gets around just our childcare system is in crisis. There's many issues. It's both, you know, prohibitively expensive for families. Families often pay, you know, as much for childcare as they do for their mortgage or, you know, a college education. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the folks doing that incredibly important work are oftentimes not making a living wage. So the equation just doesn't work for anyone. And also there's troubles with access. And so that bill created a task force, which I now am proud to sit on, as well as a number of other folks across the state from a cross section of the sector. And so we are digging into that work to create some recommendations to bring back to the legislature to hopefully, you know, continue to move on that front.
It's interesting you bring that up, because the one of the things that I find to be fascinating is that the impact of the childcare issue. We saw a shortage of workers, and one of the main reasons people were leaving the workforce is if I'm going to work 40 hours a week and I just have to take my paycheck and hand it over to a daycare provider, that basically, well, then why am I doing that? I can just stay at home with my kids. And you had people, I mean, it's that level of crisis that you actually are impacting the employment numbers because of this issue. You do have to work with the Republican Senate, and the reality is most of the time they're talking, they don't want to do anything. They feel as if we do too much, they want to cut back on these programs. Talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, obviously it's a tough sell when the Senate's going to sign on to this. Do you feel as if you can get a few of those people on board as you continue these recommendations into this next session?
Yeah, you know, I do. I think that it definitely is a challenge. And in a divided legislature, you know, we have to compromise. We have to come to an agreement. And so the trick is to find those areas where we can do that and find the path where there is agreement. And I do think there are some parts of that. You are exactly right. As you just mentioned, the childcare system is in crisis, and it absolutely is affecting the workforce. There are lots of folks who have come out of the workforce for the very reason you just said. It's if you're solely working to pay for childcare, then, you know, people are choosing to not do that. And largely it's women that are coming out of the workforce to do that, to stay home and care for children when that may be not necessarily what they, you know, ultimately want to do. And so, it absolutely is a crisis. And that piece, you know, isn't necessarily partisan. It's, you know, we want to, it's win-win really to be able to figure this out. It's win to support families. It's a win to support businesses and to be able to have, you know, workers that are able to come to work. And so I will continue to look for those, you know, look for the path to where we can come to agreement. And I do think there are opportunities for that.
Representative Liz Bolden is joining us, 25B, the Rochester area. She's Democrat of the day. Representative, I do want to bring this up. I mean, over the last year, and one of them, and I'm going to say how I felt about this. I thought it was wildly out of line for Republicans to go after the Mayo Clinic, to go after what you got they're doing down there with their vaccine policy that they had put into place. They are doctors. They are medicine. They are science. They have some, you know, the chops, if you might say, that to basically put forward a policy under the idea of what's best for their patients, for their staff, for all these people. And yet you had Republicans coming down there threatening the Mayo Clinic with punishments if they didn't bend to their will. And once again, we can have a disagreement about, you know, policy and stuff like that, and if you agree or disagree on something of that nature. But the reality is that this was different. There is, I mean, no one is happy with what's going on with the pandemic, but to come on out there and actually threaten the Mayo Clinic with punitive, you know, damages because they're not bowing to your will and doing the policies you want them to do. I'm sorry. I was just aghast at that kind of brazenness that was coming from some of the Republicans in the state.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of an example of some of the extremism that we are seeing. I agree. Clearly, you know, the Mayo Clinic provides the best healthcare in the world.
Yes.
They have, you know, the foremost experts and, you know, they are making decisions based on what is best for patients. As we know, the needs of the patient come first. And so I just think to think that they know better than, you know, the experts in the field, I think it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Obviously the House would never go along with anything like that, or they try to punish them. But I mean, it does point out the fact that, you know, we can't, the DFL can't lose the House and be nice if we picked up the Senate as well. But I mean, it's kind of one of those things where as much as they scream, we're moderates now, we got to make sure we understand this is on the record. This is what they've said. And we've seen it time and time again. We see it not necessarily in this state right now, but like this governor in Virginia who basically ran as a moderate and now he's been this extremist. They will put their extremist agenda into place. And the Mayo Clinic is definitely on their hit parade right now for the Republicans.
Yeah, that's very true. And we're seeing some of that extremist rhetoric and policies. I mean, just last week, a bill was introduced in the Senate modeled off the Texas you know, bill of vigilantism against abortion providers. So, you know, definitely that, you know, moderate approach that, you know, some will try to, you know, bring across isn't the approach of the party at large. And so I think that is very true. The other thing I will say is, you mentioned it would be great to flip the Senate, which is absolutely true.
Yes.
And to truly, you know, get the progressive policies forward that we need to do, you know, for Minnesotans. That's what it's going to take. And I would just put in a plug, I believe the path towards, you know, flipping the Senate runs right through Rochester.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree. And it's interesting to see how the Republicans have wanted to redistrict things. Yeah, no. we're not going to, no. Yeah, that's not how things are going to work. Representative, let's actually, before we get to the upcoming things in November here, let's talk a little bit more about this upcoming session here. Tell me a few things that you want to champion for your district specifically, 25.
Yeah, so it is a bonding year. So certainly there are bonding projects in collaboration with Olmsted County and City of Rochester that we are working towards to be able to make those investments in our community. So that will be a piece of what happens this session. Also, just as I mentioned, I will be, again, trying to be a champion of early care and learning. We're doing some work in that space as well. I also will be working on, I will be presenting my first bill, I think, here on Friday around democracy and making sure that everyone has access and freedom to vote and that we're making voting easier for people to, you know, exercise that right versus harder. A number of other things we need to make strides on climate change. You know, we have a surplus in the state right now, which is a huge opportunity. I mean, it is transformative money that we're talking about here. So I am going to continue to advocate and work towards making strong investments so that we can improve the lives of Minnesotans.
Amen on you on the voting thing. I got to tell you, I love that. You champion that. I'll be your loudest megaphone because you're exactly right. I mean, it just, I don't think they're going to push it through in the Senate. But, I mean, we need to call these clowns out with this whole thing about how they want to try to limit the amount of voting that happens in a state or in an election. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And we saw that whole thing. What was it? Crow Wing County, where they were looking for a recount in a county. Republicans wanted a recount in a county. They won by 30%. And you're like, what? And as I talked to Steve Simon, he was Democrat of the day about a week and a half ago, and he said, they want me to do a forensic audit. I don't even know what that term means. You know, it's just, we've got to fight back. And I think common sense legislation like this is saying, make them turn it down. Make them fight against that, because that just exposes the hypocrisy of them.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think that's, again, another example of sort of the extremism on the right that we are starting to see, because these are very common sense things. You know, historically it has been, and it always should be, that, you know, voter protections and sort of democracy protection should be not only bipartisan, but it should be nonpartisan.
Yes.
You know, we should make it easy for people, eligible voters, to cast their vote and exercise their freedom to vote. And so I will champion that always.
You're doing a lot of good work. I should mention as well the green technology changing and climate change here. This is something that it's becoming more and more undeniable. The Republicans are still at the point where they're trying to prevent from even having the option of getting electric vehicles as an option for people to buy in the state, even though they're wildly popular. I mean, I don't quite understand that. They're wildly popular, but you want to still prevent them from going out. But, I mean, it is something that if we don't do something now, even on state levels, we're going to get to that point of no return.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the clock is very much ticking. And, you know, again, it shouldn't be a partisan issue. And it's so disappointing that it is. Ultimately, you know, I think about my kids and their generation and the generations to come. We need to be leaving behind a world that is livable. And that should not be, you know, that too much to ask. And so everybody needs clean water to drink and clean air to breathe. And we absolutely have to take action now in order for that to have a chance at that.
One thing I do want you, if you could do me a favor, when you go back to your district, I have been one of these people who, if you could just convey from me, most of my listeners up here, to anyone working in a hospital, nurse, doctor, any staff people, anyone in there, let them know we love them. Let them know that how much we appreciate them. This has been god awful tough on them. And you're in a community where medicine is the business. If you can let everyone down there know how much we appreciate all that they're doing, because they're all freaking angels. They absolutely are. And this has been unprecedented times, and they have done an amazing job.
I completely agree. I will absolutely do that. As you know, I am a nurse as well. I don't take care of patients anymore, but you know, some of the best people I know are nurses, and they and healthcare workers absolutely have been doing the best, you know, through work coming up on almost 2 years in a pandemic. And I would just say to everybody who's listening, oftentimes what I hear as I talk to nurses and healthcare workers, what they want from folks is for all of us to do all of the things so we can get through this pandemic. And so that means getting a vaccine and wearing a mask when you're in public and getting tested and staying home when you're ill, all of those things. If we all do all of those things, we will get through this faster and keep more folks safe.
If people are interested in helping out your reelection campaign, and you should be interested in helping out a reelection campaign, what is the website people should head to?
My website is lizbolden.com, and that is LIZBOLDON. Like bold on the issues.
All right. And we'll link to all that a little bit later on. These are the candidates we need to get people down into these districts and help this summer. Go down. Rochester's a hoot. You go down there, you're going to have a blast down there. You might actually say, you know, why don't we move down here? Go down there. You'll have a great time. Volunteer, donate, lizbolden.com, LIZBOLDON.com. You can help out and help keep that district 25B in the hands of the DFL. Representative, thank you for all the work that you're doing. Thank you for the time today. All my best. And by all means, please come back again.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Representative Liz Bolden, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. We'll get our winner of AM 950 Wordle for the day when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.